everybody. Welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie. I'm your host. I hope that you all are doing well. I hope you had a good break. Welcome back. It's good to be back. Just getting my banner up. I like to be a little bit further ahead than this, but here we are. First show back. Come in hot. I'm kidding. I'm actually more organized than normal, to be. I mean, no, I'm not, but it's not bad. We're here. Okay. I'm glad to have you here. I want to let you know that we are live, and it is the 6th of January at about 11 a.m. Pacific time. I want to let you know that you can find me over in the chat room by heading over to 12radio.com. Click on the chat button, and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. I also want to let you know that you can find my show streaming on YouTube and Facebook. Just look for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic and you'll find it. I also put a link in the chat room for the live stream if you'd rather find that. Okay. All right. I think all the housekeeping is done. How's it going? I'm curious to know how your holiday went and how you're hanging in there. We had that wild full moon here just a few days ago. That was really something. We've had a lot of fun stuff happening. Our Christmas Eve party was a blast, and I'm going to share a link with you. Well, as soon as I can. Okay, here we go. So, we always host Christmas Eve. Sorry, you guys. I just realized that I wanted to share this and I needed to do that. I see what I'm doing wrong. Okay, we can do this. So, we always host Christmas Eve with our big crew, and we usually do a jammy exchange where you have to bring your favorite pajamas and or we draw names so that you have to buy some favorite jammies, new favorite jammies for someone else in our family. We've been doing it that way for years and years and years. And this year we thought it would be fun to do t-shirts instead. So don't bring pajamas, bring funny t-shirts. And oh my God, people did not disappoint. I will say it was mostly not for human, not for polite company. Yeah, there were some really naughty shirts. I gave some really naughty shirts. So that's what we did. It was hilarious. The shirts were so funny. And but I added to that because I had seen somebody else doing wigs, and that everybody had a wig that they had to wear, to their celebration. And I thought, now this would be really fun if, we had enough. So what I did is I spent this last year, oh, every month or two, I would just go to like Temu, Shein, buy up a handful of wigs until I had enough. I already had some because I use them sometimes on my other podcasts and, Halloween's gone by and stuff like that. One year, Scott and I, one year for Christmas Eve, we did a lip sync party and Scott and I were Kenny and Dolly. That was great, Dolly Parton wig. But anyway, so I had this big tote of wigs. So for whoever you bought a t-shirt for, you also had to buy a wig for. That was the rule. Which worked out beautifully, hilarious. And oh, I see what I'm doing wrong. You guys, I'm sorry. What a mess. Anyway, it worked out really funny. People were such good sports. Everybody pretty well did wear their wigs, which was amazing. And did what they, were. We were hoping they would do, which was be wild and have fun and look crazy. Even my father-in-law, he actually received the Dolly Parton wig, and he wore it for most of the night. So I'm finally going to get my video up. I apologize, good Lord. This was the one thing I really wanted to share. You'll see most of us in this video, and you're going to have to see. I know you guys do know what a bulk of my family looks like, so you'll have to decide if you recognize anybody.
Decking all the halls, I'm talking spiking eggnog, I'm talking opposite of small, I'm talking big snowballs. You got a new toy for me, I'm out here trimming the tree. I caught that holiday glee, my true love gave it to me. And let me come warm you up, even out in the snow. Baby, my tongue goes numb, sounds like ho ho ho. Number one Santa's elves, underneath this old tree is a little carol I wrote. It's about you and me, you're my wish list. Looking at you got me thinking Christmas. Snowflakes in my stomach when we're kissing. And when you're coming down the chimney, oh, it feels so good. I need a Charles Dickens.
That was most of it. Micah did not do the TikTok. He was unwilling. Neither did my in-laws. But that's fine, you know. We're not trying to ruin everyone's life, but that's pretty much what Christmas Eve looked like at my house. And then of course we did Christmas Day at Kara's. And then over the weekend we went to the new Avatar movie. Oh my God. The Avatar movies I have a love-hate relationship with. Love the movies, hate us. You know? You watch those movies and you're like, yeah, this is exactly what people would do. This is exactly what the United States would do. This is exactly how we would behave. It's exactly how we have behaved. But I love the movies and the cinematography and the story. And anyway, very good. It was great. Highly recommended. Scott and I've spent a lot of time just hanging out at home. Believe it or not, we don't have any snow. None. We had a brown Christmas. We had a little bit of snow last week. It is now gone. We do have snow in the mountains. It's just here in the valleys. We're getting nothing but rain, which is so weird. It's nice to be on, not have slick roads. It's nice that, you know, the pigs really hate the snow and get very difficult during the winter sometimes. And they're still not being great, but it's better than it could be. But yeah, it's a very weird year for us here in Idaho. And I know in other places, some of you guys have got a bunch of snow, but yeah, I mean, we should be a few feet in by now and we've got nada. So there's a part of me that's like, oh God, though, I really miss the snow. And then there's another part of me that's like, yeah, no, it's totally good. It's good. We're just not that cold. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what the reality is. We're getting quite a bit of moisture. It's just rain. We're just not that cold. Wild. So, anyway, there you go. But hey, Kev, Happy New Year. And Happy New Year to all of you guys and your families. And I hope that this is a good year for everybody. I do want to remind you that I have a reading over at One Two Listen that I do a lot of this month. I'm going to pull it up for you. This is you purchase it as an email reading, but what it is it's actually a video reading. So once you buy it, then I get in contact with you and we pick a time to meet together for about an hour. And I do a 12-month forecast. So I pull cards from four different decks, go month by month, and forecast where we see things going for the year. And I've been doing these for years and years. And you guys typically seek them out. And I love doing them. That's always makes an interesting. Interesting reading for me, as well as being able to be face to face with you guys via video. That's fun. We always have a really good chat. So I love all of that. But at any rate, I put a link in the chat rooms for that if you're interested, but you can always come and hit me up for that one. And I'll do what I can to help you out. So, you know, and some people will do it in like July. You don't have to do it the first of the year, but a lot of people like to so that we get a whole forecast for the year. So, I don't know what's going on with these bangs. Well, it is what it is. Okay. Stop touching them. I'm going to get a link to Luminous in here. Right. Kev said first winter in Florida in 20 years. It's 80 degrees. Wild. One year when I was in high school with marching band, we were invited to perform at the Fiesta Bowl. And the Fiesta Bowl that year was in it was in Tucson. Is it still in Tucson? Maybe it is. Anyway, it was in Tucson, and so we actually left on Christmas Day in the afternoon. They loaded up like three big yellow school buses of kids, and we drove to Tucson. It was so weird to spend Christmas break without snow. I hated it. It felt so wrong for someone who'd always had snow, you know, over the holidays. Now I'm like, oh yeah, no, I'd go. I would escape this shit for a while. But this year we don't have to. We'll see what this month brings, right? Wild. All righty. Well, let's get into Luminous. So I was thinking about how much. No. No. Okay. Still not the template I want. All right, well, I guess it is what it is. Okay. Yeah, 22 back home. Yeah. Not here. We've been 30s, 40s, and 50s. Anyway, I was thinking about how the winter solstice always makes me want to read, but it also makes me want to write. This is inevitably the time of year when I start thinking, like, I should put out a new deck of cards. I should write a book. I should do some writing. And then I always get kind of stuck on the, but write what? And writing is so raw, right? When you write, you are exposing a part of yourself. You are birthing a baby and handing it to the world. It's raw. And there's always that part of me that's like, do I want to be that raw? Do I want to be that exposed? And then I wonder why not? Like, what have I got to lose? Nothing really. So, but then the other question is always, right? What? What do you want to write? What are you thinking about? Like, what's in your head? So, I put together a bit of a guide to anybody who might be feeling compelled to write, that also might be feeling a little overwhelmed by that, or. And this could be for some of you guys that have written a lot, but currently are off the sauce, right? It could be for anybody, but if you are struggling to come up with ideas or just struggling to get yourself going, I always think that's the hardest part is to just get going on something or just writing for practice and fun rather than for some big goal. Because I think that's one of the problems is that we get kind of trapped in the idea that if you're going to write something, it's got to be the next all-American novel versus I just want to sit down and write a short story or I just want to flesh out one idea for fun, for interest. I think part of it is because of school, right? We went to school as kids, you had to write things for a purpose. Even if it was creative writing, it was still for a grade. It was still for an evaluation of some sort. And I think that writing became, for most of us, a task and a chore that had to have a positive outcome. And then if you write anything for your job, you might feel the same way. It makes it hard to just free write. It makes it hard to feel like you have the, you can give yourself permission to just write for fun that's not going to be shown to anybody, or maybe it will, but that it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to get an A grade. It doesn't have to impress anybody. It's just for you. somehow I think school likely took the fun out of writing for a lot of us. And yet your spirit might be feeling really called to write. Many of you have stories in you, whether it is your own memoirs and life experiences, or it's a novel rolling around in your head, or you just have a crazy imagination that could put together some pretty awesome stuff. All of those things are possible, right? Maybe all at the same time. So, I called this week's magazine the Write Like Nobody's Watching edition. We're going to talk about it. If you don't know where to start. And by the way, writing doesn't start with talent at all. Anyone can write. Anyone. You all have a brain in your head. You all have thoughts. That's enough. That's the talent. So when you're getting started thinking that you'd like to write something, start tiny. One sentence, a single paragraph, a paragraph, fa. I don't know how I put a T on that. A list, a word that feels heavy in your chest, and then maybe fleshing out why that word feels that way. 5 minutes of writing time counts. 1 minute counts. It doesn't need to be about endurance. It doesn't need to be about how much time you can put in or how many words you can write or what you can produce. It's just about showing up. It's just about putting something on paper. And that is always part of the interesting point. You write differently than other people, right? So you may. You may find that you can write better with a pen and paper. Some of you will find that that's definitely not the case, and you write better on a laptop or at a keyboard or an old ancient typewriter. I don't care. Some of you may find that you write better by voice dictating. And with the kind of technology we have now, that is simple to do. You can write in lots of different ways, and being limited by one way isn't a reason why you can't write another. I rarely handwrite. My handwriting sucks. My fine motor skills are interesting. So it's I don't enjoy it. It's frustrating to me, and I don't it ruins the creative process for me, and that I'm too concerned about my handwriting or what my hand is doing or not doing. So I'm way better off to write by voice diction and also just by typing. But again, that's totally up to you and how you work. I look at other people that have all these cool notebooks, you know? They're always buying the cool journals, the cool notebooks, filling them up with cool stuff. That's not me. I wish it was. But I don't got that. I just don't. I don't have the handwriting skills, but that's fine. That's how I work. Maybe you do. Maybe you do it totally different. Maybe you have a note section on your phone where you like to put your writing. That's up to you. I highly recommend that you use tech in every way that you can that helps you. Or if you want to be totally tech-free, number two pencil and a notebook, composition notebook. You do you, but you kind of have to start nailing down a little bit. How do I work the best? And also, are there things that I'm doing that don't behoove me? Right? Am I writing in a way that I'm not comfortable? And do I need to do something different? We have way too many aids, tech aids now, to not find a way to write that works for you. Create a soft ritual. This is simple. Writing time doesn't have to be a productivity test. It doesn't have to be something that is difficult and challenging that you dread. Do a couple of things that just feel special. Light a candle. Pour a cup of tea. Sit by a favorite window. Years ago, when I was doing more writing and feeling too stuck at home, I'd take my laptop to a cafe. Just drink coffee and eat breakfast while I wrote for an hour. I really liked doing that. Really liked it. But that's up to you, right? It's not about judging yourself. It's not about getting an A plus. It's not about getting frustrated or proud, really, of what you're doing. It's just about letting some words flow through you. Let spirit sit with you. You don't have to write alone. In fact, you're not, right? You've always got the influence of your spirit team or your spirit system around you. Some people call it intuition, higher self, ancestors, guides, the universe, all of the above. But why don't you just ask? What do I want to write today? What needs to be written today? And then listen. You don't have to force an answer. If you start writing, if something starts moving through you, great. What if it doesn't? Then write something anyway. If you're really that stuck, pull a card. That's also super easy to do, right? Pull a card. Ask your cards while you shuffle them. What should I write about today? I promise you, you'll pull a card that triggers something that you could write about. Let's do it. All right. So I'm just going to ask the cards. What do I want to write about today? Or you could ask, what should I write about today? Up to you. The card I pulled is spiritual strength. So if I sit with that card and ask, what does that mean for me? Or what does that trigger for me? It makes me want to write about my feelings about leaving organized religion and how people in my community struggle with understanding that you can be a happy person and a good person without being a part of their religion. And how often people said to me when my kids were kids, when they were teenagers, that they would marvel about what great kids I had. And the underlying unsaid part was that they don't even go to church. And how I used to take a lot of pride in that, but also be kind of sad and puzzled by that too, that there was an idea that you had to be a religious person to be a good person. That's all. Recently at Mars's work, a kid that she works with gave her a huge rundown about how you have to be a Christian. He's like a born again. You have to be a Christian in order to know right from wrong. And went on a long tirade about how atheists are evil because they don't know right from wrong because they don't read the Bible, and so they couldn't possibly know right from wrong. And Mars listened to that for quite a long time, and then finally pointed out to him that she herself is agnostic, was not raised in religion. And she wondered if he thought that she was a bad person. And of course, he backpedaled immediately. Well, no, not you. Of course, no, no, you're a good person. No, that's not what I meant. But it's exactly what he meant. But he wasn't thinking about it in the scope of actual human beings that he knows, right? This is just some platitude. It's kind of crazy. It's a wild thought that unless you have the fear of punishment and an ancient book, and if you do, fine, that's good for you. But the, you know, and that works for you, that's fine. But the idea that you have to have this kind of dogma to tell you how to behave, otherwise you wouldn't, you'd just be out there killing people right and left, kicking puppies, stealing, because you wouldn't know otherwise. That's what I'd write about. That's what that triggered for me. But obviously that was a, that rant was a whole aside to what we're talking about, but that's what I'm telling you. Pull this card like that, sit with it for a minute, and I promise your stories will come tumbling out, your thoughts, your ideas. Maybe for that card, it would trigger something totally different in you, a short story about someone who showed an immense amount of spiritual strength in the face of adversity or something. Who knows? That's up to you. But again, pulling a card will a lot of times give you some kind of a jumping off point. Write badly on purpose. This part kills me. It kills me. Kills me dead. But it's important. First drafts are supposed to be bad. It's okay. They can suck. They can be flat, rambling, emotional, awkward. Restate things. You can edit later. But when you're just letting words flow out of you, it's just because you're just letting honest work happen. Later on, you can decide if this is something that lives or dies in your notebook or in your computer, but for now, you don't have to. Every writing session doesn't have to be an editing sesh. It shouldn't be. If you're really writing authentically, you're not editing things as it flows through you. You're just putting things on the page. Rather than following rules, just follow the energy. If structure helps you, that's great. If you have scheduled times that you do things and that works for you, more power to you. If you are more of an ADHD rebellious sort, you may not do well with rules because the first thing you'll want to do is break the rules because that's what your brain wants to do. So if structure is great for you, great. But if it's not, consider this. You don't have to write every day. You don't have to finish what you start. If you start writing something and you lose the vibe for it, do something else. If you didn't have time to write today, or you didn't feel inspired, or you were sick, or something else was going on, or you were working on a different kind of project, that's okay too. You don't have to know where it's going. Believe it or not, you can start writing stuff without an entire plan to the end when you start. Somehow, that got beat into us as kids too, I think, in being taught to write outlines and diagrams, that you had to know your whole thing, your whole story, or your whole document, whatever you're doing, from start to finish. That had to flow out on the page before you started. This never made sense to me. Even in creative writing classes when I was in like junior high and high school, it never made sense to me that we had to turn in a Venn diagram or an outline before we even started writing, that we had to already know the ending. You don't have to. Also, you're not getting a grade on this, so you can change your mind anytime you want. Some days writing might just look more like journaling. Maybe there's something you need to get off your chest, or a thought that keeps coming up that you want to put some work into. Maybe it's poetry some days. Maybe it's never poetry for you. That's okay too. Sometimes it's a half-finished thought that you'll never return to. That's okay. All of it counts. When you're writing, you're practicing. When you're writing, you're organizing thought, right? writing is a practice. And so when you're writing, even if it's something that you're going to throw away, even if it's something that doesn't really matter to your bigger project, or maybe there isn't a bigger project at this point, that doesn't matter. It all counts. Trust what keeps returning. What keeps showing up again and again? A desire to write something that's fiction or a fantasy or a memory that won't let go, that keeps popping back up for you, or a question that you have about the world or about yourself or about your childhood or about metaphysics or spirituality or anything else that just keeps circling around in your brain, or a feeling you have that wants some language. That's a big one. To some degree, we have all been given a chart in our heads of what feelings mean. Like you essentially know, probably, what happy feels like for you, or what sad feels like for you, or what angry feels like for you. The basics. But there's other more complicated feelings that come up that you may not quite have your finger on. Maybe you don't have a name for it, but you know how it feels in your heart. I think feelings like melancholy come up for me that way. Feelings like euphoria might come up for you that way. But maybe there's a feeling that's really bursting out of you right now that needs some language. And maybe you just put that on paper. It could be a list rather than a paragraph. It could be bullet points. It could just be a bunch of random sentences. But the repetitions aren't accidents, they're threads. They're what your brain and what your spirit are combining to tell you. Sometimes they're just truths that you didn't know you were carrying. Sometimes it's the stuff that you wish you could say to the world that you really don't have a way to say, that just needs to come out of you. It's wisdom that you've been carrying throughout your life, wisdom that you've built through your life experience. Offer yourself compassion and spoons. If you have chronic pain, illness, exhaustion, emotional heaviness, writing has to work with you, right? Not the other way around. You do not have to force yourself to write when you don't feel good, when you're tired, when you don't really have much to give. Those are a low spoon day, right? Maybe you spent them all this morning. Maybe you just didn't wake up with very many spoons today anyway. Write in your head, or dictate a note, or jot down a fragment or two, or completely rest instead and do nothing. It is okay to protect yourself and care for yourself. If you make writing a punishment, you won't keep doing it. We're not children. Not that children should have been punished over writing anyway, but you're not a child, you're an adult, and you can choose what you want to do and how you do it. Don't turn writing into a punishment or into a shame fest. If you're going to shame and judge yourself and then punish yourself and beat yourself up for what you did or didn't do, writing will turn into torture. It's not fun. And then what? So then you just don't, maybe? Maybe you just give that up? Okay, maybe you should if it's going to turn into something terrible, right? But you have the power to decide that you are going to write in a different way. You don't have a publisher breathing down your neck. You don't have a teacher with a deadline. You don't have a parent looking at your grades, wanting to know what the hell's going on with you. None of those things are true, so don't treat yourself like you do. When you write, close with gratitude. Thank yourself. Thank your spirit. Thank your guidance. Again, gratitude teaches your body that writing is not a threat, that it feels good, that it's comfortable, that you can come back. If you've been looking for a sign to begin to write something, maybe this is it today. Just do it kindly. Be good to yourselves. You deserve that. Kelly's article this week is called Women's Rights in Retreat and Why It Matters Now. Very, very important stuff that she's talking about. Bodily autonomy, economic freedom, healthcare access, legal equality, and the worries around that for women currently, what you need to know and what you need to do, or at least consider. So I loved it, Kelly. You're right on, per normal. Okay, I put together a list of fun and easy writing prompts. If you just don't know what to write, and you just really wanted to write, here's some fun ideas. This is simple stuff. This is kid stuff, except for you don't have to get graded. You don't have to share it with anybody anyway, so you can write whatever you want. That was the other part of writing in school that I always thought was a little problematic, was that they wanted us to journal, they wanted us to write this and that, but then you always had to share that with somebody, right? Somebody got to judge your work. You could never be totally authentic, could you? Well, maybe. I guess it was depending on what you were writing. Write a letter to your future self. Describe your dream hidden room. I love this. Scott and I were watching a show the other night, like a detective cop show, that in the show they discover a hidden room where, you know, all the good stuff was. And we were talking about how much, if I were to build a new home, how we would probably find a way to incorporate a hidden room or two, because we just think they're so freaking cool. What would your hidden room be? What would be in it? What would be its purpose? What would it look like? And this, of course, is if you had no limitations and could do whatever you wanted. Create a character with a strange talent. You can just flesh out the character. You could write a short story based on that character, but just for fun. Just for fun. A character with a strange talent. Then you can decide if you want to do anything more with it or that was enough for you. Finish this sentence. I feel most alive when. And just answer it for yourself. Five things I saw today. I know you saw some weird shit. Something interesting. Something funny. Something mind-boggling. You know you did. What about something comforting? The bookshelf door. Yes. Yes. Me too, Sherry. It has to be the bookshelf door, right? I feel like Scott's would be more intricate and hidden than that. And that, I'd never find it. What would you put in a magic potion? And what would the purpose of it be? Invent a holiday you'd love to celebrate. I mean, didn't we just have Festivus? The Festivus for the rest of us? Tell the story of a lost object. Just play. No pressure, just fun. Christy's energy exercise is Gaia grounding. Since that full moon, I have talked to a lot of you over at Once You Listen that have been feeling very ungrounded and uncentered. So this may be you. Sherry said her potion is water and red dye. Her kids were very intrigued when they were little. Good enough. My potion currently is a Moscow mule. I'll tell you about it, but I'll finish this first. True Crime Squad, we've got lots of stuff going on over there, as always, you know. If you like true crime but you don't like the heavy stuff, go watch this episode, the True Crime Roundup, Stupid Criminals Edition. Hilarious. More meditations, always. Tons of meditations over at Planet Meditation. And there you go. That is Luminous this week. I'll tell you about my magic potion currently. Micah and I both love gin. We're both gin drinkers, and so we're always comparing notes on gin we've had and or want to have. So this is gin. It's Hendrick's brand. Hendrick's is a Scottish gin that we both really like. And every year Hendrick's puts out kind of a different their latest blend or their latest brew. And so he bought me a box that had two Hendrick's in it, which was awesome. Their main all the time mainstay. But they always, like I said, every year they've got some new variety. So this one is called Flora Adora. And it is quite floral. You can really taste rose in it, and it's awesome. He's more of a piney gin. He really likes gin that's more of a, the more traditional, not piney, but a juniper berry. He likes the more standard. He even likes oh, what's it called? Gunpowder gin. Ugh, hate, but anyway, but I like the more floral gins, the fruitier ones. Anyway, whatever. But so the Flora Adora is, oh my gosh, it's good. So I've been making a Moscow Mule with that, and I love a Moscow Mule with gin as well. But this one has the Flora Adora. It has some of the Angostura bitters, just a couple of dashes. It has ginger beer, of course, because it's a mule. But the other thing I have is on Christy's birthday, we went to a distillery that had these little jars of boozy huckleberries. And like they're huckleberries that are soaked in vodka, but they're amazing. And so I've been putting a healthy teaspoon of boozy huckleberries in my gin. Oh, my gosh. I'm telling you, it's the best there is. I would have a hard time ordering at a restaurant and having, or at a bar and having a better mule than that. But Pamela said gin smells like scotch tape to me. Oh, interesting. Huh. I wonder why. Probably depends on the gin, too, because, like I said, there's a lot of different gins out there, but. And ask me how I know, because I have a lot of them. I've tried a lot of gins. I bought some tangerine gin in Jackson a few weeks ago that is really nice too. I like the grapefruit and tangerine, the citrusy gins a lot, but at any rate, that's what I've got. So I do have a few minutes. If anybody needs a reading or some energy work, this would be the time to throw it up in the chat room. And I'd be curious to know what's coming up for you guys. What are you reading or what are you writing? And how is the solstice energy landing for you? I'll tell you over the break because I took a week off of this show and off of Luminous, but we took a whole week off of True Crime as well. And, well, a week and a half, really, because Christmas Eve is on a Wednesday. So, we took Wednesday to yesterday off. It was a big break. Probably too big of a break, honestly. But, and I rested a lot. I read a lot. I really did let myself do nothing quite a bit. I worked, of course. I stayed on the lines and talked to clients and did that kind of work. But, I really let myself off the hook on a lot of other things. And it was good. I'm not very good at that, so it was nice. Tara would love a message about the job she applied for. Let's feel into that. You'll get an interview. I do feel like they have quite a few applicants, but I do feel like you'll get an interview and that you, there's no guarantee you'll get this job, but I feel like there's pretty good energy behind it. Yeah. Pamela said, I'm cooked. I could use an energy boost. Let's do it. Okay, my friend, just tuning in with you. I'm going to give you a good clearing first. Your energy is pretty dang heavy. Okay, good. And now let's just really balance your chakras and get your energy moving quicker. Your whole energy body's moving really slow. So, getting that root taken care of first. And your sacral. Good. All right, your solar plexus was really flat and not moving. So I want to see your chakras look like wheels of light or balls of light that are moving. And they typically move at about the same pace and usually all clockwise or all counterclockwise, though not always. But your solar plexus wasn't doing any of those things. So I'm really pulling that up and out and getting it going. And then up to your heart. Good. Now I'm going to pull a bunch of cords out of your high heart because that's just weighing you down. These are just the little thought form attachments that you get that just kind of, a lot of them come from work, from family, from neighbors, friends, just, people that might need something from you or rely on you or have a strong feeling about you. But that gets to be a heavy load to carry and they're unnecessary. So, just pulling all of those and healing them with love and returning them because they're not even yours. Okay, I'm going to heal up your high heart. Good. Now balance your throat. That's going to release your jaw. Feel better on your jaw. All right. And then third eye, I'm gonna go way back and really push that third eye open and balance that. Good. And then your crown is too big, so I'm gonna pull it down. And clear your aura. I'm gonna put a lot of light around you, and I'm gonna put a Herkimer diamond in your crown. To just help continue to feed your physical and emotional and spiritual energy so that you're not feeling so washed out. Good. Better. Better, better. Okay. Yes, an interview is definitely a foot in the door, Tara. Definitely. Yes. Okay. Oh, I had asked what you're reading. Sherry said she's reading Parted in Death by Caroline Fartig. It's a small series. Interesting. And you love them? Yeah? clearing for Sherry. Absolutely. All right, Sherry. I'm going to tune in to you. Let's do a quick Merkaba clearing. I'm going to start at your feet. Commanding a Merkaba clearing, commanding billions of many points of light to flood your system now, completely healing, clearing, and releasing anything you're carrying that is not yours, that could be holding you back or holding you down. Any energy that's not serving your highest and best good, physically, emotionally, or spiritually at this time. Commanding these frequencies to be healed and cleared and rendered neutral and inert in all directions of time now, through every cell of your physical body, every layer of your emotional body, and every fiber of your spirit body now. I'm going to start at your feet and work to the top of your head. And just watch that working its way through you. If you could see it, it would look like billions of little tiny vortexes of light. They're blue, just racing through every cell, every layer, every fiber. I think it's so important every so often to release anything you're carrying that's not yours. Because as it turns out, we pick up so much. We're just big sponges. We pick up a lot of energy that belongs to other people that is likely not feeding you or serving you. Okay. I've moved up from your root to your sacral and working through your solar plexus now. And I think you pick up a lot from work and also from your family and maybe just collectively too. It's a tough collective time, and so we get a lot of chaotic energy that way, especially for sensitive people. Okay, in your heart. All right, your high heart. Because you, like Pamela, have a lot of cords here, so I'm going to let them all go. All right, moving up through your throat and your third eye and your crown. And I'm going to go back to your feet and command a Merkaba blessing. Commanding billions of many points of light to flood your system now, completely shifting your frequency to a place of joy, to a place of peace, to a place of creative and comfortable energy, and to a deep inner knowing that all is well. Commanding these frequencies to shift through every cell of your physical body, every layer of your emotional body, and every fiber of your spirit body now. Now just watch that. The blessing is always much faster than the clearing. So I'll just watch that move through you. Good. I like that a lot. Okay. I think, let me double check the other chat room, but I think we've done it. Okay. Alrighty. Well, I want to thank you guys a lot for being here. I want to thank you for being a part of my life experience here and my work. I appreciate it very much. So please like, share, follow. That helps me a lot. And I'll be back next week, same place, same time. In the meantime, you can find me over at 12listen.com every single day. I'm a professional psychic advisor. I can help you with energy work, animal communication, psychic readings, mediumship. Sometimes it's just a shot in the arm or somebody to bounce something off of, but I'm here. And you can find me over there every day. If you ever go over to 12listen and you need to talk to me and I'm not there, just do a callback request or a scheduled call. But if you do one of those things, I'll get a notice quickly that somebody's waiting for me and I'll do what I can to connect with you quickly. But I'm never that far away. Alrighty, guys. You're so welcome, and thanks for being here, guys. This has been yet another production of The Katie Weaver Show here on 12 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world.